I'm like, are you nuts? Why? Why?
There are some key points that you need to keep in mind.
I used to teach German in English to native speakers from the Philippines online.
They didn't even turn on their cameras, so you didn't know where they were, what they were doing, what they were wearing, if anything.
So many people don't quit because they have this opportunity to be connected from any point on Earth.
Oh my God, you've grown so much! Like he was 20 centimeters higher.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of our podcast where language enthusiasts talk about learning and stuff.
It's three of us here.
I'm Zoya.
I'm Taya.
And I'm Ksusha.
In this chaotic world, we're all in need of safe space to speak one's mind, love, and enjoy life.
Because that's the only way to stay sane while
zooming
through
chaos.
Hello, hello.
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 Language enthusiasts. How are you doing there?
I'm very good.
Sounds like very good, yeah. Exactly like that.
Fine. And you guys?
I'm on my renovation strike all over the place.
I'm fine. Such a general
thanks
answer. Yeah. I'm fine.
I don't know why this voice comes out all that squeaky.
I actually, fun fact. I saw a YouTube short where David Schwimmer, there was like scenes only with David Schwimmer and him not being able to say something because his voice got so squeaky. He was like just saying some line and was like, oh, what's it? And I think this is this iconic line with I'm fine and this squeaky voice is actually his real voice that just writers noticed and decided to include into the TV series.
Nice. So it just came out naturally and then they said like, okay, we're keeping that in the show. So
yeah, it's just my assumption. I have no idea if it's true, but based on the bloopers with his squeaky voice and everybody laughing, just, you know, rolling on the floor laughing, I guess it's just, yeah,
happened. I see, all right. Today, actually, we are not talking about squeaky voices, but we are talking about online and, sorry, we're talking about online and offline lessons. What are our takes on that and what do we think about it? Right now I'm having all but one lessons online, and actually, to say the truth, I don't really remember how it was offline. Do you?
Not really.
Partly, maybe, yeah. Yes.
It like
maybe as a learner mostly.
All right, can you share your experience?
Not as a teacher.
As a learner, you mean like in school and university?
Yeah, of course. This experience as a learner mostly offline. As a teacher, I got experience mostly online, even to groups.
What about you?
I'd say I experienced, as for now, mostly offline classes. But for the past 3 years, I've learned stuff and taught stuff online. So yeah, if you like take almost 11 years of teaching experience, so it's like it's mostly offline. But to be honest, I can agree with Taya that I can hardly remember what it felt like, especially now if I go from one place to another place by metro, like today, for example. It's rush hour and it's boiling. This is what I'm saying, my I'm fine. I'm like sweating like I've never sweat before, but like I can't remember why I did that. But because for me at the time, there was no alternative, as I thought, well, but then the special event called the pandemic changed everything. So, well, I guess we all remember what it was like to, well, kind of remember what it was like to teach offline. What was it like?
Yeah, I remember that I had a couple of groups offline when we were working in that language center, you and me. So I remember that I had a group of adults. They were elementary at the beginning, then they were pre-intermediate. So there were three people in that group, and I used to go to the office to give them classes. And what I remember actually is, yeah, commuting. And I remember that between the classes, I had this class and I also had the class with small children, and like extremely small children, which I don't believe in right now. That's another topic. And between these classes, I remember that I had only like 10 minutes to go and pee and have a bite of something. Mm-hmm. And it was not very convenient, let's put it this way. And also I had the classes, yeah, I forgot about it. I had the classes at the university when I was teaching at the uni. And again, I remember commuting, and I remember the short, really, really short breaks between the classes. That was exhausting.
Yes, true. Well, actually, I've experienced online classes even before the pandemic happened. I used to teach German to a Russian girl who was in mm-hmm. Germany already. So it was 4 years before the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. You are in the early bird.
Yeah. So mostly it's an individual mm-hmm. class. So I haven't experienced the group classes before the pandemic, but after it broke up.
Broke out. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. After it happened. Yeah, I used to teach German in English to native speakers from the Philippines mm-hmm. online every day for like 3 hours. Mm-hmm. So it was also exhausting, actually.
And it was already online, right? It started yes. when the pandemic started mm-hmm. as well. Yeah. I just wanted to remember what was the offline lessons right now, because I believe that many people still think now less, but still think that online lessons are less effective than mm-hmm. offline. And I want to like draw the line. Is it really true or not?
Well, again, like I can understand the people who think like this, because I was one of those people. As again, I taught only offline. I commuted every day, well, every working day. And I remember having so many papers with me all the time. I can't imagine carrying so much with me now. I'm older, but still, like, I can't imagine, like, all these photocopies, and you need to know how many people you're going to have in your group, and, like, I can't imagine all the fuss now. And when I see requests from people to, like, have classes offline, I'm like, are you nuts? Why? Again, it's just my opinion. I'll explain why. But when this, like, the pandemic happened, I was in so much denial. I didn't work for a month. Because I didn't know how to transform into online, because unlike Tai, I hadn't had the experience before the pandemic. So when they even offered me to like, okay, we'll just like transform anything into online, like no worries, like it's going to be easy for you. I'm like, it's not easy. Like mentally, it was a mess for me. I couldn't figure out how to do it, what to do, like how to use Zoom, how to use everything. Like I know PowerPoint presentations, not that I didn't know how, but like for teaching it was a first. So I understand the people. And I also thought like, how am I going to like teach all these people? And it's not going to be efficient and stuff. But it's actually okay. Let's put it this way. It's fine.
I'm fine.
And it's fine. Yeah. But yeah, you save time. People save time. Not gonna say that they save time and then not waste it watching YouTube, myself included, but yeah, you save time without like commuting to your classes.
I do agree with you. First of all, I remember your denial. It was all over the place. No, I'm not going there. Mm. No. But even during the pandemic, at some point, we started to have lessons with you.
Well, because we had started having classes before the pandemic, and then the pandemic hit and I was in denial. I was like, nothing is gonna happen online, it's like all a scam, I don't know. And then me or you like offer like, let's just try, and yeah, we continued our classes, resumed our classes.
Yeah I remember that at first it was even Skype, and then at some point we transferred to Zoom. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do agree with you that it's less commuting, so you save time. But what I want to mention is that I do think that online classes are as effective, at least as effective as they are. But there are some key points that you need to keep in mind. For example, when, during the pandemic, I started to have classes with that group that I used to have in the language school, and it was free office workers, and I used to come to their office and give them offline lessons in some of the conference rooms. And we were having lessons like this. So after pandemic started, their company switched into home office, and we started to have lessons via Zoom. I think it was Zoom already. But the point was that two of these students were very attentive, and they continued to study in a good way. But one of them started to have classes from his car, for example, which was not good. This way, it's not efficient. So if you are having the class from the car, you have no notes, you are not concentrating on anything, it's a waste of time. I don't believe in that. But if you are in a dedicated space, you are fully concentrated on the lesson, you have your notes, you are fully invested in that, yes, sure, it's effective and it works great.
Yeah. Actually, that was one of the first things that I noticed about people, that they felt more relaxed. First of all, they were mostly at home, although some of them went back to the office to work, but like so few of them did. So they at home, they're relaxed. Some of them, and that was a big issue for me, they didn't even turn on their cameras. So you didn't know where they were, what they were doing, what they were wearing, if anything. So, okay, even if the camera's on, they're relaxed, they're at home, they're like, I know, doing something, maybe simultaneously with your class, which is not good. But okay, and then that was first thing, because if they come to your offline class, they come with either a course book or your photocopies or some notebook, maybe a pen, a pencil, whatever. In an online class, I was like, and they were like, oh, should we take notes? And I'm like, should? Must. Like, what? How is it different? For me, that was no different from a real class, which it was a real class.
It is a real class, sure, yes.
But and for them was like, but everything is on the screen, but should I? Again, it depends, because I have students now who like take or make screenshots of material, and they like, how do I say it, take notes digitally, I don't know, so like they write like in Paint or something, they do it, I don't know, it's easier for them. For me, it's like I don't know how to do it, but for me it's easier to take notes like in real class, which I do. If I study a language, I always like write something with my hand, but I'm very old school and I do not insist on it. But I was surprised that people were not treating online classes as real classes. They were like, oh, or should I like take notes? Should I do my homework? I was like, what's going on? So yeah, it was an adjustment for sure to like explain everything like it was the first classes they were having at that time, which ridiculous now.
Well, you know, we should take it into consideration that this class is virtual class and it's not the real class in reality. And people still think, they could think it's not a real class because it's not in the reality.
Mm-hmm.
It's virtual. And they start to make everything virtually.
It's not Sims, you know? It's like, we're real people. We're real people. It's just like...
How do you know for sure?
Well, there are theories, of course, that, yeah, it's all a simulation and we're just, you know, cogs in the Matrix system and stuff, yeah. So, sure.
Yeah, I agree here with Sai that some people are still struggling. Like, that's just an online lesson, so it doesn't count. And I hope this episode will bring the thoughts, give some food for thought. Give some food for thought. I cannot pronounce it, sorry.
Food for thought.
To some people that it is a real lesson and you should treat it like a real lesson. You should invest in that.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, yeah. I can back up the part with the video. It's one of the rules, like basic rules, I would say ground rules of my lessons, that we always have the video, because this way I see and I can communicate with the person. Mm-hmm. I can see that he's invested. And I had some struggles with some students in university because there were a couple that, yeah, they were connecting like lying like this. It's like, hey, I'm in my bed.
with a pillow in the background. So just relax.
not even sitting, but just lying in the bed. Or a person who was saying, oh, I don't know, my camera is not working. And I will just say it like this. And I was pretty strict. I think it was the only thing what I was strict about. But I said, no. Like, without the camera, I cannot say that you have attended the class.
You're very strict.
Yes. You either turn it off or I'm sorry.
Turn it on.
It works. Turn it on. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Or I'm sorry. You're
very
not here.
Strict. Because at some point when some of my students were not turning their cameras on, I was turning mine off. So I was like, you're not doing it. I'm not doing it. And the way I taught that classes, I was like with my legs on the table, my feet on the table, legs, well, almost legs, legs and feet on the table, sitting like this, almost like, I don't know, my cat somewhere near me, like lying, running, whatever. So relaxed, not efficient classes, not proud of them. No, but I was so tired and I'm now used to online, and I can't imagine going back. When I see requests for like offline class, I'm like, are you in your right mind? What are you doing? Because I can't imagine, like, again, this copious, these papers, and like, seriously, I just
it's also not really ecological,
it's not environmentally friendly. Let's start with this. Yeah, but nobody listens to me when I talk about this, so I just say like it's heavy to carry all this. So I can't imagine going back, but at that time, I think around a year into the pandemic, I was so tired of teaching online, of sitting in front of the screen all the time, because you spend so much time as it is, like watching something as a free time activity, for example, and then you have to teach and you're again in front of the screen. But that is, again, like work-life balance and your balance with the screens. So it takes a lot of effort to make it efficient, as for me.
Yes, you're right.
Thank you.
I wanted just to say I really miss those real interaction classes in reality, because you can't think of any activity with a language, so people can move in a classroom, they can speak to each other, and it's like lack of movement.
Like a mingling.
Everyone just is sitting in front of the screen and your eyes are going really bad.
Yeah,
really.
That's true.
Yeah.
I have problems with sight already.
Oh, join the club.
I actually do recommend you to have these glasses that are like for screen. If I knew about them before, I think I would wear them. Okay, that's another point. That is the difference between online and offline classes. I still stand on that. Online classes are effective, but there is this lack of physical touch, like lack of physical connection, let's put it this way. Not in any
inappropriate way.
Yes, but just the interaction, like of the person that you have togetherness, mm-hmm. when you have in the person, when you are in the same room, mm-hmm. you're breathing the same air.
Which was the problem with the pandemic. You were not supposed to breathe the same air as other people.
Yes, true. And I remember that there was one class that I really liked when I was at the uni. It was my last semester and I had not the classes I used to prepare to IELTS there, or I had business English there. But the last semester I was teaching there, I had one group which I had kind of like case study. So we were doing some case study because they were in the business faculty of business, something like this. And we had different cases for different companies, and they were working actually in this small focus groups. And there was that mingling and there was that interaction. And for that, it was excellent. I just loved it, how they talk to each other and brainstorm ideas. For that, offline lessons were great. And actually, they requested offline lesson for that one. I was really happy to go there. And I cannot provide it via the screen. It's not possible. But sometimes it's the only options. For example, I have a student who is in Germany. So offline mm-hmm. lesson is not an option. Or I had classes where I was a student and there was 6 people, students and one teacher, and we were all in different places around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And during the course, a couple of them moved, so it's not possible to have it offline. So it sometimes it can be the only option, and it's not a bad one.
Yeah, true.
What about other subjects? You know, since the pandemic at school, people were studying online every single subject.
Yeah, but now they're back at school because obviously it didn't work. Can you imagine 30 children in your classroom?
Zoom class.
And like not all of them with cameras on, and some of them are like running somewhere. I can imagine. I don't know. I think it's a mess. And this is why they lasted for a very short time, and then they had to go back to school because somehow in one room you can manage them. Again, if among our listeners there are school teachers, please do correct us and tell us that it worked. But from what I heard, it didn't. It was impossible to manage them all.
So. You had the group of Japanese, you said. So that you had 20 people, right?
25 initially.
Adults.
And the idea was we had these lessons every time offline
mm-hmm.
from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. It was the beginning of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And after the pandemic broke out, we transferred into online classroom. And probably 5 people just said, I can't. Mm-hmm. I'm out. Mm-hmm. Yes. Because maybe they haven't got a computer
mm-hmm.
or maybe it's not possible for them. Or they didn't believe into online classroom. Mm-hmm. I don't know what reason was it. But we had some people who just quit. And then we transferred into online classes. And it went pretty good. Because all these 3 years of learning Japanese online made people understand those organizers who organize these classes. They understood that less people are not attendant
mm-hmm.
in the classrooms. So many people continue attending classes. They don't quit because they have this opportunity to be connected from any point on earth
mm-hmm.
using the internet. So it made it possible for many people still to attend classes,
definitely.
Even if they have some private stuff going mm-hmm. on, even if they are abroad on vacation, mm-hmm. vacation. That's very good because all these years when it was offline, on the level of B1, there were just 4 or 5 people left
mm-hmm.
in the group. After this 25 in the very beginning, for B1, only 5 or 4 people.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm graduating from this course in a group of 21 people.
Mm-hmm.
21 person.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah. It's adding to Ksusha's point about that people can attend classes wherever they are in the world. And this is very good because, mm-hmm. well, I teach mostly Russian, so it's like we're all scattered around the world now. And I actually had experience teaching Mexicans for like a few lessons. And I wouldn't have been able to do it unless I were able to do it online, and I was able to do it online, so I didn't go to Mexico and told them no. I just told them from my home, and that was fun. So yeah, you can reach more people. People can reach you. You can connect with more people teaching online, and life happens. People move. People go on vacation or holiday or vacation now. So yeah, I wanted to sum up for me that it took me so much time to get used to working online. I am kind of used to it now. I do miss offline classes.
Like physical touch?
Yes, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know why. Like if you ask me, I can't explain it logically. I think it's just earning for the past maybe. Because if you like give me an opportunity to teach offline again, I don't think I'm gonna take it because it's commuting, it's like all these papers, and I know I have strange feelings when I'm in the crowd of people after the pandemic. Like I don't like it, so I'm more for online, and online studying, working, doesn't matter, it's good. it works.
Tai, I had a question to you. So when I asked you about 20 people, 25 people in the online group, and disclaimer, it was 25 adults. I believe that adults can behave better than children. Of course. So you started as an offline lesson, right? So you spent some time before you moved there. Mm-hmm. I want to point it out because there are some stages that you go through as a group to be kind of united, to get that feeling of togetherness or whatever it is. And you already had that in offline lessons, and then you kind of just transferred already as united group into online. Do you think it helped you? Mm-hmm. Or if you started from the very beginning online, it would be worse or better?
I think it's better if you start offline as a group, because we became friends with those people who we were studying with offline first and then transferred to online. We started meeting, going out into restaurants and playing board games, everything. So it's a kind of a community, of friends with common interests or something. And I do believe it's much more funny. It's funnier if you know people already in person and then you see them online on the screen. Then you just meet these people online and haven't got the opportunity to meet them in person. It makes you feel that this person is only online and you don't want really to interact with them offline. It's just like a border between you, this screen. Mm-hmm. Because I also have got this group of people who I know in person first and then went to online. And after some years, I had a gap year. So I didn't have Japanese classes, and then I continued with another group because my group was already forward pretty well. And I don't really think that this group can become as much as my friends. I don't know how to put it. So I
you don't feel as close to them as you were to the previous ones.
Yes, maybe. I do like these people. They're really amazing. They've got wonderful interests, but still we can't say, oh, let's meet somewhere and go out and make a picnic. I don't know. Nobody will show up, maybe, unfortunately.
Do you think it just depends on the people, or it's like your inner, I don't know, fear that nobody will answer you?
Yeah, like has anyone ever made a suggestion to hang out and nobody turned up?
Yes.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I want to agree, kind of, because I'm of the same mind maybe here. But I also have other examples, which I guess gonna support Tai's view and maybe contradict it a bit. So I taught some people offline, and then we, after several months, went into online mode. And I still teach them, some of them, till this day. And we're really, like, connected with them. And it might be partly because I saw them offline and they saw me in person, and we like kind of went through all of it together. So yeah, I have like this to support TSU. And then I have an amazing students who are a couple, and I mentioned them in our previous episode maybe. So guys who are a couple, and I've never seen them online. I've never seen them in real life. I've never taught them in person. I only taught them online, but we're still so connected. They sent me gifts to my hometown to like thank me for classes. Aww. And I don't remember the last time I received any gifts from like people who I taught in person, like a long time ago, maybe even before the pandemic was a long time ago. And so yeah, they sent me gifts, and we keep in touch, not on a regular basis, but still. But I've never seen them in real life, which I would love to do, but, you know, well, adults have lives and stuff.
That's actually interesting. I understand what you are talking about. And I think I know the reason why you connected, maybe one of the reasons why you connected to this pair. I experienced that in my group, in Yuri's group, where I was a student. And first of all, I think what really helps us to connect is that we had some kind of introduction and some like building rapport between the group mates, some tasks dedicated to that. It's first. Second, we had and still have the chat, like the group chat, where mm-hmm. we can just share anything related to the topic. Mm-hmm. The third part is that we all are teachers, so we had some kind of
common ground.
Mm-hmm. Common ground, yes. But what I really think right now, like taking a step back and getting a helicopter view, I believe that also what helped me to connect to these people is that we also exchanged our social sites, so Instagram and
social media.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Because through that, when I see that they post something, I have kind of prompt how to address them. It's like just react to something or write a comment. And this way, I don't feel scared to
approach them,
propose something. Yeah, to approach them, to propose something. And when I was in Georgia, I even wrote to a girl that I know that was living in Georgia at that moment. It's like, do you want to meet? I will be in Georgia. And if you'd like, we can meet, like have some chat and stuff. And we kind of devirtualized. So we met in real life and it worked the other way around. Mm-hmm. So we have never seen each other before and we got it this way. It was a bit strange because I used to see her on
2D to 3D. Mm-hmm.
Yes, but it was so nice and I loved it so much. I remember that I experienced kind of the same strange feeling when I came back to offline lesson to my 12-year-old boy. Because we had online lessons for like a year and a half. And in the picture, I don't really see him changing anyhow. But when I came to his house, I was like, oh my God, you've grown so much. Like he was, I don't know, like 20 centimeters higher.
A tall man now,
right, yes. And now I see that he's actually a preteen. Mm-hmm. But through the screen, I couldn't see that. So there is difference.
It's cool. I can't agree about social media, to be honest, because I think you saw a real person in your classes with Julia more. And like, I don't understand why like social media made you feel closer to people, because, well, it's mostly an illusion.
I saw them not only during the lessons,
also
kind of like part of their life outside of the lesson.
Mm.
So it was like more 3D picture.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yes.
So I saw them not only as students, but also like a person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then it is different from my experience with my students, because even though like we can catch up, it's mostly mm-hmm. like this teacher-student relationship, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, mm-hmm. because I don't know actually why. Maybe we feel comfortable like this. And even with my students who I've taught for a long time, I'm still not, like I can get personal with them. They can, but I can't, but this is my choice again.
That's another one.
So
yes.
Yeah, I don't want to like overstep something and do mm-hmm. something. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. And here you are a student, they are students. So it is different. So online lessons are great, right? We're like advocates for online classes. But like, if you feel like you have to get offline lessons, please do.
Whatever flows your boat.
Exactly. Like whatever you like, but just treat mm-hmm. them equally. Like do not see these type of lessons as something serious and another one is just something to have fun. Everything can be fun. Everything can be serious. I think like even more opportunities are now for online classes with all this ad tech, right? With Mira mm-hmm. and other platforms and all this stuff. And you can get so creative. I guess it's more for teachers.
Yeah.
And you can entertain your students because, oh, sorry, I forgot one story about me having, like when I taught offline, I always had so many cards with me, you know, like cards for students like to fill in or to like, I know, play or something. Or like, I know you don't see the card and you turn it over and it's like something, a question or whatever. It was so much fun. I remember being so disappointed when I didn't have it in online classes. Well, now you can do it, but again, it takes time. Oh, yes. And it's more time consuming than it's just you cutting the papers and given to your students in offline classes. Now, almost anything is possible, I guess, online.
Yeah, I actually think that there are a couple of things that it's easier and more efficient to do online than offline now.
Yep, exactly.
Yes.
So you also wanted to say something, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm an advocate for online classes too, but I really miss that a real life interaction. So I'd rather prefer hybrid lessons than online lessons. It was much more fun when I was teaching Zoe German because we met one time a week at the cafe Starbucks, and then we met online the second time the week. It was the most engaging, amazing experience in my life. I like that format pretty much, so it's the best.
Sounds like the second episode in the row we have a hybrid one.
Yeah. Well, it was fun.
Okay, I actually have, I guess, I have a hybrid one with my 12-year-old student.
Mm-hmm.
So we have one online, one offline. It's not always possible, I would say. So if you are, like, the territory is different, so one in Moscow, I don't know, the other one is so good. It's not possible for sure.
Yes, of course. Not that come to Moscow for us are good. We should meet once a week.
Once a week, please.
It's enough for Moscow. Please do not come here. Have online classes. Work also remotely. Stay where you are.
Stay where you are. Don't open that door.
Don't move.
Don't move.
Yes. In any case, like in any way, just stay where you are.
All right, we'll wrap it up on this point. Thank you very much for listening to our podcast. So it means a lot to us.
It means a lot. Yes, thank you guys.
Yes, subscribe, leave your likes.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Bye.